Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and today's subject is Leviticus 10, 11, and 12. This is for Friday, August the 19th, and we'll get right into it because this is a very important chapter in this scroll of Leviticus. Let's start with verse 1, and I will explain some things as we go along here. And Nadab, 5070, and Abihu, 30, the sons of Aharon, took each man his censer, 4289, and put fire in it, and put incense, 7004, on it, and offered strange, 2114, fire in the presence of Yahweh, which he did not command them to do. All right, let's stop right here just for a second. Strange 21:14 in this passage means strange to the law. Strange to Yahweh, uncommanded. Doesn't mean foreign fire, it means strange as to the law of how incense is to be offered. There were specific commandments concerning this, and they just violated them. So let's go on to verse 2. And there went out fire, 784, from the presence of Yahweh and consumed them, and they died in the presence of Yahweh. Instant retribution for the two priests that just defied him and his law. They were told, they were schooled in this, what they could do and what they could not do. They just did something on their own and paid a terrible price for it. Then Moshe said to Aharon, "This is that which Yahweh spoke, saying, I will be set apart." In other words, consecrated holy to all that come near me. And before all people, I will be honored. No ifs, ands, or buts. And Aharon refrained from speaking. That's one word, refrain from speaking. That's 18:26. Verse 4. And Moshe called Mishael 4332 and Elzaphan 469, the sons of Uziel 5816, the uncle 1730 of Aharon, and said to them, come near, carry your kinsmen from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Now these were Levites with specific duties. So they were allowed to do this. A non-Levite he could not have called, because only the tribe of Levi was allowed in that sanctuary area. I had to get a little drink of water there. Getting a little dry. Verse 5. So they went near and carried them in their long garments, the ones that had been made for them that were holy. They got burned up too, as Moshe had said. So the priestly class was not exempt from punishment. They were strictly bound by these rules. Verse 6. And Moshe said to Aharon and to Eleazar 499 and to Ithamar 385, his sons, do not uncover your heads, 6544, because they wear their, the priests wore their prayer shawl up over their head, nor rend, actually they had turbans that they had on their heads, nor rend, 6533, your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath, 7107, come upon all the congregation, but let your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, bewail, 1058, the burning, 8316, which Yahweh had kindled, 8313. That's destruction by fire, kindled by Yahweh. Not incense burning. Now, why could they not rend their clothes, which was the custom of grief? They would just rip their garments and tear hair out of their heads in grief. The reason was they were wearing the holy turban. The priest class was. And holy garments, and they were not allowed to tear the holy garments. These are the garments that I described that went through a long, ornate process of being made just for the priests. Now, they were going to have to make two sets of garments over again, because the two that were burnt were wearing their priestly garments. But Yahweh was allowed to destroy those garments and the priests that were inside of them. They, as priests, should have known better than to do this. Now, the explanation of why is coming up. Just a second. Verse 7. And you shall not go forth from the door of the tent of meeting, lest you die, because the oil of anointing of Yahweh is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moshe. Verse 8. And spoke Yahweh to Aharon, saying, and here's your explanation, folks. Verse 9. Do not drink wine 3196, nor strong drink 7941, which is a type of beer, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It is a statute forever throughout your posterity. Verse 10, and so that you may separate, 914, between the set apart, 6944, and common, 2455, and between unclean, 2931, and clean, 2889, and verse 11, so that you may teach the children of Israel all these statutes which Yahweh has spoken to them by the hand of Moshe. Okay, in verse 9, says, don't drink wine or strong drink. Why did Nadab and Abihu go up there? Maybe they were nipping a little bit and got a little happy and said, oh yeah, let's go over to the tent and we can burn some incense. Bad idea. All right. Verse 10, separate between the set apart and common. Okay, common doesn't mean unclean. Set apart is holy. That which is dedicated to Yahweh. And common is everyday use. You would sacrifice a bull to Yahweh, it was set apart. You could slaughter a bull for your family's food and give a part of it as an offering to Yahweh, but the rest of it's yours. That's common usage. That's not set apart to Yahweh. That's the meaning of common. It is just for everyday use. The priests wore clothing. It was set apart clothing. Very special. Everybody else wore clothes too. But they were just regular everyday wear. They were not dedicated garments. They were not manufactured over a long process and anointed and all the other stuff. They were just common clothing. Now we come to, and between unclean and clean. Unclean is animals that are not fit for sacrifice or ceremonial use, like work animals, horses and donkeys, such as that. They didn't sacrifice horses and donkeys and camels. They were work animals. They were not ceremonially clean for sacrifice. They were not to be brought in the temple. They were not to be slaughtered. But the clean, 2889, is those animals that are fit, which is described by Yahweh in prior chapters, fit for sacrifice to Him. And there is a definite distinction between the two types of animals. And verse 11, so that you may teach, they are to teach the children of Israel all these statutes so they will know them and not inadvertently through ignorance bring a horse to be sacrificed to Yahweh or a donkey. That's not done. They will know the difference. They were to be the teachers in addition to their regular 24/7 priestly duties. Now they just lost two priests because he only had four sons. Now two of them are dead. So now there's only three priests, Aharon himself and two living sons. So their duties are going to be even busier because they're short-handed now. Oh, boy. Verse 12. And spoke Moshe to Aharon, to Eleazar, and to Ithamar, his sons that were left, 3, 4, 9, 8. Take the grain offering that remains of the offering made by fire to Yahweh, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, because it is most holy. Verse 13, and you shall eat it in the set apart place, because it is your due portion of the offering made by fire to Yahweh, for so I am commanded. They were to go eat a meal. He just lost two sons, and Eleazar and Ithamar lost two brothers, but they were not to mourn because they were to hold Yahweh before their own family, blood kinsmen, sons, brothers. Yahweh was to be first, and these two, even though they were close family, had violated Yahweh's law, so the punishment was just. And they were not to mourn. Verse 14. And the wave breast and heave shoulder you shall eat in a clean 2889 place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are your due portion and your sons' due portion, which are given from the sacrifices of well-being of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast they shall bring with the offering made by fire of the fat to wave it for a wave offering before Yahweh, and it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as Yahweh had commanded. Verse 16, and Moshe diligently sought the male goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt, 8313, totally consumed, destroyed by fire. That's what that 8313 means. And he was angry, 7107, with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aharon, which were left alive, saying, 17. Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the set apart place, seeing as it is most set apart and given to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make propitiation for them before Yahweh? Behold, the blood of it was not brought within the set apart place. You should have eaten it in the set apart place as I commanded. He was hot. Verse 19, and Aharon said to Moshe, behold, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before Yahweh, and such things have happened to me, and he's talking about the death of his son, and if I had eaten a sin offering today, should it have been pleasing in the sight of Yahweh? Verse 20, and when Moshe heard that, it was good in his eyes. It placated him. He wasn't fit at that point to eat that offering because of his grief and all the other stuff. It wouldn't have been good in the sight of Yahweh. So he told that to Moshe, and Moshe backed off. Now, these are chapter 10 notes. Aharon's sons may have been drinking before they offered the unauthorized incense burning before Yahweh. Well, verse 9 10 and 11 infer strongly that they were. Because why would Yahweh speak to Aharon and specifically forbid drinking wine and strong drink before you go into the tent of meeting? Why would he do that? It would be irrelevant, wouldn't it? Yahweh is never irrelevant. What he says always pertains to some action. Well, they profaned the set apart place by their actions, and Yahweh burned them up. Aharon and his other two sons were warned not to even mourn for Nadab and Abihu, as that would be disrespecting Yahweh's justice. This shows Yahweh is to be first in our lives, and not even family comes before him. This holds true today. Didn't Yahshua say, if you love anybody before me, more than me, then you are not fit to come to me? And who was Yahshua but the fleshly manifestation of Yahweh, who was the husband that had to die before Israel could remarry, because Israel was set aside. And the laws of divorce were, if you are set aside, cast out, you cannot remarry as long as your first husband is alive. And the only way Yahshua could redeem Israel, being Yahweh in the flesh, was to lay down his life and release his spirit from that fleshly body to satisfy the requirements of Yahweh's own law, by which he was also bound, because it is a perfect law and he is perfect. And he would not issue a law and then not obey it himself. He wouldn't do that. Well, in chapter 10, verse 1, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is the book of Jasher in English. Chapter 83, verse 6. In verse 2, you can reference verse 9. 2 and 9 are allied. That shows between when they were coming in to offer incense, and 9 shows the prohibition against the drinking. So they're allied. Verses 12 and 13, you can reference Leviticus 6, 14 through 18. Verses 14 and 15, you can reference Leviticus 7, verses 30 through 34. In verse 17, you can reference Leviticus 6, 24 through 26. So they really had a major shakeup. Aharon and his other sons were not even to go forth from the tent of meeting to attend the funeral. First of all, they're not allowed to come in any dead body. It would make them unclean. Priests had special laws for them. They were not to go mourn or attend a funeral because they were to place Yahweh first. And a precedent is now set in Israel that you don't drink and go near the temple. You just don't do that. That is disrespectful. So let's get into chapter 11 here. Verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying to them, 2. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the land. He's going to give food laws. Verse 3, whatever divides 6536, the hoof, 6541, and is divided, 8156 and 8157 combined, of hoof, and brings up 5927, the cud, 1626, among these beasts you shall eat. You ever drive past a farmer's field and the cattle are laying down and they're chewing? Well, they're not going around grazing, so what are they chewing? They're bringing up, they have several stomachs. And it mixes with digestive juices, and then they bring it up, and they chew it up again, because grass and stuff is hard to digest. If we did that, it'd be called acid reflux, but it doesn't bother them. That is a natural function with those beasts. So people say, "Oh, we're just all animals." No. We are Adams. We are not behemoth. We are not beasts. We're not supposed to be like beasts. Verse 4. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of those that bring up the cud, or of those that divide the hoof. As the camel, 1581, because it brings up the cud, but does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. You're not to eat camel meat. Sorry, but that's, I don't know anybody here that's got camels that eat camels. But they are not to be eaten. Okay? And the rabbit, 8227, because it brings up the cud, but does not divide the hoof, it is unclean to you. You don't go rabbit hunting. It is unclean meat. It carries tularemia. It has disease. It is not clean. It is forbidden to you. I've been rabbit hunting all my life and I got beagles. I'm sorry. You're not to eat rabbit. You're not to touch the rabbit. You're not to have a pet rabbit. It is unclean. And the hare, 768, now that's a larger form of rabbit in foreign lands. Be like a jackrabbit here. Okay, we got regular rabbits and jackrabbits. Because it brings up the cud but does not divide the hoof. It is unclean to you. Verse 7. Very clear. And the swine. That means pigs, pork. 2386. Though it divides the hoof and is divided of hoof, yet it does not ruminate. 1641. The clod. It is unclean to you. Verse 8, you shall not eat of their flesh, and their carcass, 5038, you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. If you play football and you are using a pigskin football, you are unclean. That object is unclean. If you have pigskin suitcase, throw it in the trash. It is unclean. You have pigskin shoes, throw them away. They are unclean. You are not to touch the carcass of a pig or any of its parts or anything made of its parts. If that makes you unhappy, I am very sorry about your unhappiness. But that is not a suggestion. That is a direct commandment. Deal with it. Yahweh first. These you shall eat of all that are in the waters. Whatever has fins, 5579, and scales, 7193, in the waters and in the seas, 3220, and in the streams, 5158, these you shall eat. Verse 10. And all that do not have fins and scales in the seas and in the streams, of all that go forth in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination, 82632 you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat of their flesh and their carcasses. You shall have in abomination, 8262. Whatever has no fins and scales in the water, that shall be an abomination to you, verse 12. That means catfish. That means oysters. That means clams. That means shrimp. That means lobsters. That means shark steaks. No shrimp cocktail. I dearly love shrimp, and I haven't had shrimp in so long I can't remember the last time I had it, because I read this in the scripture and I obeyed. I put aside something that I really liked because Yahweh said it was unclean and I should not touch it. Yahweh first. I cannot ask other people to do things that I am unwilling to do. Gotta walk the walk, not talk the talk. I am not a Judeo-Christian preacher. The identity of some of the birds that are coming up, some of them are in question, and the words used have multiple meanings. I indicated these in brackets in my written work, my published document of this book. So it's easy to figure out what we're talking about here. Verse 13, and these you shall have in abomination among the birds. Now, because they're garbage eaters. They're cleansing animals. Carrion eaters. These you shall have in abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, 5404, it eats carrion. Don't care if it's our national symbol. So much for nations. The kingdom of Yahweh is the only true nation. The nation of Israel in the kingdom of Yahweh. Pure-blooded white Israelites. The ossifrage, 6538, that's some kind of bird of prey that eats carrion. And the buzzard, 5822. And the vulture, 1676. And the falcon, 344. After their species, 4327. They are carrion eaters, all of those. Verse 15, all ravens, 6158, after their species. That's crows. Crows, carrion crows. Okay? Clean, clear explanation. Carrion eaters, don't touch them. Verse 16, and the daughters, 1323, of the ostrich, 3284. The male ostrich, 8464. The seagull, 7828. And the hawk, 5322, after their species. Ostrich meat is unclean. Ostrich eggs are not to be eaten. You don't eat seagulls. They eat dead fish and clean up the beach. Hawks also eat carrion. If they see something dead on the ground, they're going right after it. Verse 17. And the, it says pelican, it's a maybe, it's 3563. I have it in brackets. We're not sure about that. And the cormorant, we are sure about that, 7994. And the, in brackets, great owl, 3244. We're not sure about that. So it's in brackets, and it's not in bold like the rest of it. It's set apart by the brackets because we don't know what it is really. So pelican is likely and great owl is likely, but it's not etched in stone. So we're not going to present it as true when it may not be true. It's something to think about. And the swan, 8580. And the, in brackets, desert owl, maybe, 6893. That's unsure. And the gear eagle, that's a big eagle, 7360. Verse 19. And the stork, 2624. The heron, 601 after its species. And the lapwing, 1744. That's a type of bird. I don't know exactly the species, but it's accurate. That's what a lapwing is. And the bat, 5847. Verse 20, all flying things, 5775, that creep, 8318, going upon all four, 702, shall be an abomination to you. 21, yet these you may eat of every creeping flying thing that goes upon all four, which have legs, 3767 above their feet, 7272 to leap, 5425 with upon the ground. These of them you may eat, the locust, 697 after its species, and the bald locust, 5556 after its species, and the cricket, 2728 after its species, and the grasshopper, 2284 after its species. They had some great big crickets over there, and they used to catch them and fry them up. Ew, but it's clean. You're allowed to eat them. Chocolate-covered grasshoppers, you know, some people eat them. Verse 23, but all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. And for you these things shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. 25, and whosoever bears the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean unto the evening. In other words, if you kill some critter in your house and you carry it outside to the garbage can, you're unclean till the evening. You have to wash your clothes and do all of that business. 26. I have the carcasses in order to make sense, but it is in italics, and it's not actually in the Hebrew. It is inferred. implied, of every beast which divides the hoof, and is not divided of hoof, nor brings up the cud, are unclean to you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. That's why I put the carcasses in italics. 27, and whatsoever goes upon its paws, 3709, among all the beasts that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches the carcass shall be unclean until the evening. Now, I hate to say this, but I'm going to have to, because this is very clear. Dogs and cats as pets are unclean. I'm sorry. I love dogs. I even like some little kitty cats. But we're not supposed to be living with them. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it to you. You know? I don't have dogs. I love dogs. But verse 28, and he that bears the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They're unclean to you. If you carry out a dead dog and bury it, you're unclean until the evening. You have to wash your clothes and be ceremonially unclean. Well, we can't go to the temple anyway, because there is none. It's in us. So, verse 29, these shall also be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep upon the ground. The weasel, 2467, and the mouse, 5909, and the tortoise, 6632, after its species. Can't have them as pets. I'm sorry. Verse 30, and the ferret, 604, and the chameleon, 3581, and the lizard, 3911, and the sand lizard, 2546, and the mole, 8580. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until the evening. You can't have these things as pets. I know a lot of guys got pet ferrets and chameleons and lizards in a little glass cage, and they feed them bugs and all that stuff. But the Bible says we're not supposed to. See, all these little things that have crept into our society. You know, we do these things, we don't think anything of it. But if you read the book, oh, I can't tell you how many dogs I've had as pets in my life. I love dogs, but we're not supposed to. We can love them, that's fine, but you... Oh, that hurts. I mean, it really does. But that's what it says. That's one of the things we have to grit our teeth and say, well, you can have goldfish. They got fins and scales. Hey, you know. Pet goldfish. Verse 32, and whatsoever any of them fall, and upon whatsoever, pardon me, I missed a word, and upon whatsoever any of them fall when they are dead, it shall be unclean, whether it is a vessel, 3627, of wood or clothing, or skin, or a sack, 8242, whatever vessel it is in which work is done, it must be put into water And it shall be unclean until the evening, so it shall be cleansed. 2891. And every clay, 2789, vessel, into which any of them falls, whatever is in it shall be unclean. In other words, you have to throw it out. And you shall break it. 7665. Ow. Verse 34. Of all food which may be eaten, on which water comes from it, shall be unclean. If you're washing something, it spill water on it and it goes on something else, it's unclean. And all liquids, 4945, that may be drunk, 8354, in every such vessel shall be unclean. You got to pour it out. 35, and everything upon which their carcass falls shall be unclean. Oven, 8574, or ranges for pots, that's one word, 3600, they shall be broken down, one word, 5422, they are unclean and shall be unclean to you. That's why it's very hard for us to go to a restaurant, because if you're going to have a steak cooked on a grill and they have cooked a pork chop on that grill also, that steak is unclean. You're not supposed to eat it. Very hard to go out to eat. Verse 36, nevertheless, a fountain, 4599, or a well, 953, where there is plenty, 4723, of water, shall be clean, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. Verse 37, if any part of their carcass falls upon any seed, 2233, for sowing, 2221, which is to be sown, 2232, it shall be clean. 38, but if any water is put on the seed, and any part of their carcass falls on it, it shall be unclean to you. Because some seed you have to soak before you plant it, so it'll get a good start. That's what that means, for those of you who are not farmers. Verse 39, if any beast of which you may eat dies, and I have on its own, in italics, because it's implied, he that touches the carcass of it shall be unclean until evening. 40. And he that eats of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And he that carries the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Something just drops dead, whether from age or disease. You don't eat, I won't eat it, but sometimes they did if they were hard up for meat. It's not forbidden, but it means you're unclean, so I just take it to mean that I don't think I'll eat it. That's my decision for me. 41, and every creeping thing that creeps on the ground shall be an abomination, it shall not be eaten. Little vermin, you're talking about centipedes and whatever. 42, whatever goes upon the belly, 1512, and whatever goes upon all four, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep upon the ground, them you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. They're unclean. They're in the dirt and the filth and all that stuff. Verse 43, you shall not make abominable, make abominable, 8262, yourselves, with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean, 2930, with them, that you might be defiled, 2930, by them. Because all this has to do with the existence of the tent of meeting and the tabernacle. If you're defiled and unclean by one of these things, you can't go to offer sacrifice that day. You can't go near the tabernacle. Can't do it. You're not allowed. Because it's a most holy place. Verse 44, here it comes. Because I, Yahweh, Elohechem, 430, your God, you shall set yourself apart, 6942, and you shall be set apart, 6918. For I am set apart, neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping things that creeps upon the ground. Because I am Yahweh that brings you up from the land of Mitzrayim to be the Elohim, your divine being. You shall therefore be set apart, for I am set apart. We're Yahweh's chosen. We are to be different than the other peoples of the land. Israel is not the same as non-Israel. We are not to do as they do. We are not to dress as they dress. We are not to eat as they eat. We are not to worship as they worship. We're not even supposed to speak as they speak, because most of these animals out here that are walking around on two legs use constant, unending, profane speech. They got filthy mouths. We're not supposed to talk like that. We're supposed to look white, walk white, talk white, act white, and be white. We are not to be as the beast of the earth, the field. Not supposed to be like them. And that's what I don't get about the Uyghurs. Why do they want to act like them? Ugh! 46. This is the law of the beasts and of the birds and of every living, breathing creature that moves in the waters and of every breathing creature that creeps upon the ground. 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. All these garbage cleaning animals retain toxins. They're eating dead, rotting things. The shellfish, the oysters, and the clams all retain poisons and clean the waters. The poisons won't harm them, will be deadly to us. Mercury poisoning from shellfish. How many cases of that? And it is lethally toxic. Lethally toxic. People die from eating that stuff. Here's your references. Verse 39, Leviticus 7, verse 24, and 17, 15, and 22, verse 8, Deuteronomy 14, 21. In verse 44, reference Leviticus 19, 12 and 1 Peter 1, verse 16. So we got 10 and 11. I got into some more commentary. We'll do 12. We'll do 12 on Monday. That's just the way things have turned out. It needed more comment, especially the thing with Nadab and Abihu. We are always to reverence Yahweh. We're not to take His name in vain. We're not to use it lightly. All things pertaining to Yahweh are holy. We are made in the image of Elohim. We are Yahweh's chosen, my fellow Israelites. We are to be holy because He is holy. And the fact that He has chosen us makes us holy, and we are not to be like the other non-Israelites on this planet. We are to shun their ways. We are to shun their presence. We are not to live with them. We are not to breed with them. We are not to be like them. Be ye holy because I am holy. That's real simple. And we're in a lot of trouble today because we have not followed these laws. It is time for us as a nation, the nation of Israel. I'm not speaking about the United States of America, because Israel is not just here. It's in Great Britain, all the British Isles, all over Europe, South Africa, the Boer people. They know they're Israel. They've taught it. They're being persecuted unmercifully, even by other white men, because they know these things and they want to live the life of Israelites and they want no part of the others, but they're being forced. They're having it crammed down their throats, as we are by all these liberal laws here and in Great Britain, the flood of non-Adamic immigrants that are just being shoved upon us, and we see the increasing violence. We have seen the results here of forced integration, the degradation that we have suffered as a people because of forced contact with non-Adamics. May Yeshua come soon and bail us out of this mess. Well, I'll be back on Monday. We'll start in on chapter 12. So I will say to you, my brothers and sisters, that it is that magic hour. It's coming down. I want to cut it a little bit short so they have time to put this in as a rebroadcast. And I've got my own spot on EFR now, and you can reference all my past shows in chronological order. Paul is taking care of that. And I want to thank you for all the moral support that I've gotten and the many, many blessings that I've gotten from my fellow Israelites since I've gone into this teaching ministry here. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on the earth.